Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program today, Tuesday, September the 19th, 2023. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for local, live local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, along with the piggyback feed from kvoi.com for our telephone interviews. And by the way, you can join us at any time during the hour at 790-2040. That is the Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dennis Hoffman is the director of the L. William Seidman Research Institute at the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University. He's director of ASU's Office of the University Economist. Some of his sponsored projects efforts include the construction and maintenance of the revenue forecasting model used by the Executive Budget Office for the state of Arizona. And he's been doing that each year since 1982. Professor Hoffman, how are you?
Bill, I'm very well, thank you.
You know, before we talk about Arizona, the UAW strike, according to the New York Times, really places labor at crossroads. And the Times says that since the start of the pandemic, labor unions have had something of a renaissance. And actually, here in Arizona, there's an effort that I think kicked off yesterday, starting to collect signatures that would challenge Arizona's right-to-work state. Some of your thoughts about labor in Arizona and nationally.
Well, it flashes me back, Bill. I'm an old Michigander. I was going to school and looking for my first job in the 70s. Strikes, especially auto strikes, were very familiar to me as I was growing up. And they were kind of a part of life. If you research major economic events of any year in the 50s or 60s, you will find that the news was dominated by strikes. And it was back in the day, Bill, when labor had more power in the economy than it does today and than it has in recent years. Labor concentration and labor unions have been on the decline since the 80s. And they, as you say, they have somewhat of a resurgence. We've seen I think a significant amount of increased power in middle skill jobs and in the last few years. And, it bucks a strong trend of the greater share going to management and to ownership. Mm-hmm. than has been the case. It's definitely been the case that, you know, shareholders and management rule the day in business. And, we're seeing some changes in that. So it'll be interesting to follow.
Early in my career, covering Las Vegas for NBC Radio in the 70s, biggest show in town is when the UAW came for their national convention. That, right. I'm telling you, they took over the whole town. That was a big deal. That right. was a very big deal. And I'll tell you, when the culinary strike happened in the 70s in Las Vegas, the town was completely shut down. Las Vegas in those days, pretty much a big union town, not so much anymore since it became this family-friendly city.
Right, right, right. But not so much worker friendly.
No,
I think.
No.
Well, it's going to be interesting to follow. It's definitely a switch in trend. We probably got a little bit one sided in terms of the fruits of labor going to management and to shareholders than we needed to, and I think the pendulum's going to swing back a little bit. The question is, how far will it go? How long will this sustain? And we will have to see. And as to Arizona's right to work law, I think there may be some movement afoot to change that, but I think that's going to be very difficult to change. But who knows?
How are you doing now with the forecasting? What's the revenue picture look like in Arizona?
We have our kickoff meeting on Thursday, so you've interrupted my day here. happily so. I need a break from staring at numbers. But Bill, there's just a few things that are fascinating that are dominating the revenue flows in Arizona. First of all, sales tax is showing some signs of leveling off from the frothy levels that we have reached in the, you know, continuing 10% increases year on year. We're not seeing that as we start the new fiscal year. We're not seeing declines, but certainly leveling off. On the income and corporate income tax side, it's a mixed picture. I did see a data point that was released by the IRS this morning. Capital gains declined year over year 45% in the nation from 2001 to 2002, after going up 75% from 2000 to 2001. So there you have a snapshot of my life. A significant amount of the individual income tax even in Arizona is influenced by the volatility of capital gains. And so people may think revenue forecasting is kind of a boring a pursuit, but it's pretty volatile. The revenue flows are really pretty volatile. So keeping track of this is definitely a challenge. So we'll have to see how individual turns out. Was very much down last spring, largely because of tax cuts and loss of capital gains. And it's kind of starting out slow this year as well.
Well, the state legislature finally adjourned after kind of a strange session. You'll wonder when they come up in 2024, what kind of a revenue picture do you think they might be looking at, Professor Hoffman?
Oh, I think it's going to be definitely more dismal than what they've seen in the past. And part of that is their own doing. there's this adage that, government ought to run like a household, budget like a household. Our government has been giving away its income. So, budgets are always challenging, and they're even more challenging when you decide that you don't want to take home the full paycheck anymore. And that's effectively what we've done. We've given away a significant amount of income by major tax cuts. We've had major obligations now to ESA scholarships and, those sending their children to private schools. And we have an economy that's okay, but not surging like it was the last few years.
Boy, those scholarships, that really has cut into the state budget, hasn't it?
Well, it's a reallocation to some degree, but it's it's the kind of thing where it's very difficult to kind of predict where it will end. The question is how many scholarships are going to people that were in private school at the outset? How many scholarships will go to private school attendees in the future? How many will go to, those folks that want to pursue homeschooling their children? So it's definitely something that would have been hard to conceive, I think, a couple of decades ago. I don't think anybody would have thought that state tax dollars would be funding private school education. That's what we've decided as a state to do. And so I'll have to see how that turns out.
And you wonder what your rainy day fund is going to look like as that new session is gaveled into business in January.
Fortunately, we still have a solid rainy day fund. And Bill, not everything is doom and gloom with respect to the economy. The economy is really holding in fairly well. And so we can hope that continues. If that can continue and we can we can achieve this so-called soft landing and dodge the bullet of recession, you know, maybe we could weather this storm. But it's going to be different than it's been in the last few years.
Professor Dennis Hoffman up at ASU, always a pleasure to talk with you. We'll check in with you in the fall. Thank you, sir.
Very good, Bill. Good chatting with you, and best to everyone in the old world.
Thank you very much. Dennis Hoffman with us on The Buckmaster Show. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Check it out. All of the menu items and beautiful pictures of what's available. But the pictures are one thing. Actually, tasting the Mona's product is another thing. It's the real thing. And quite a variety of wonderful European-style pastries and breads. Open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 in the morning for a terrific breakfast. Check it out. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Shelley Fishman is coming up next, and Shelley now says it's thumbs down. But how far down? We'll talk to Shell right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelly Fishman. Shelly, how's your week going so far? I know it's early in the week.
Yeah. So yesterday was the flattest day in the market I have ever seen, I think, in my life.
What, did everybody go home?
Everybody went home.
Take a three-day weekend. Maybe they didn't come to work yesterday.
Yeah. And today, the market is showing the uncertainty of a possible government shutdown. We've had a very weird kind of inflation report last week. It was a little bit worse than was expected, but still not bad, really. But the Fed is meeting this week, and there is some speculation about the fact that the Fed might give some signals. I don't think they'll raise rates again this month, but they might signal that there's a higher probability than they were talking about just a month ago.
When you add uncertainty, what happens?
Well, when you add uncertainty, the market, you know, is going to sit and wait and watch. And that's kind of what's happened for the past couple of months. The market is still up for the year, not insignificantly, by the way. But every time we begin to get, like we did last week, a little bit of a push higher, you know, the Congress does something stupid, which is the only thing I can forecast with absolute certainty is that Congress will do something stupid.
The only certainty out of Washington?
Bingo.
Interesting remarks by Professor Hoffman.
Yeah,
right on about the kind of the implications of this income inequality, a topic that you have talked about numerous times.
As you know, it's one of the, in my opinion, it's one of the short or the medium and long term headwinds that the economy faces that if we don't fix, we won't have our country anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Income inequality. And, you know, you can argue about the decimal points, but since the Reagan tax cuts, since we did what the professor said, we started giving away our revenue, you know, basically saying to our boss, we don't want the money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All of the growth in GDP, and if you take a look, again, I mean, this is a concept. If you take a look each year, the GDP grows. You know, there are a couple of years where we've had recessions that it hasn't. But for the most part, each year it grows. And we know what that number is. And then we can measure the wealth of the various tiers in the economy in terms of, you know, earners. And where has all of that money gone, adjusted for inflation, over the past 40 years? It's gone to the top 10%. The middle class, the so-called middle class, and those who are not yet in the middle class,
the shrinking middle
haven't
class.
Gotten a penny of gains for all their labor and for all their struggles over the past 40 years. Now, you know, part of that is, you know, quite frankly, because we have, with tax policy, given all of that money to the upper, you know, the upper classes. The Reagan tax cuts, the Bush, Bush tax cuts of 2003. I mean, we had some tax increases from Clinton in 1993 or 1994. I may be wrong in which date, but that gave us almost 10 years of prosperity, and we only took it back to 37% at the top when Reagan got in. The top income bracket was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And when he left, it was 33%. You know, and then we say, well, we're incurring deficits. Well, heck yeah, we're incurring deficits. We gave ourselves a pay cut, but we didn't give ourselves a spending cut. And by the way, most of the things we spend money on, you can't cut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the military, you can't cut. The so-called entitlements programs, you can't really cut them. And nobody's willing to anyway. Now, Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid are things we've got to fix. And you don't fix them by cutting them. You fix them by shoring up their finances. So we've got a Congress that is just not willing to step on these third rails. As a result, we're incurring greater deficits. Fortunately, those greater deficits have not negatively affected the economy's growth overall. However, We know for darn sure that at some point, we don't know what that point is, but at some point, the interest payments on the debt are going to cross over a line in terms of the percentage of GDP that becomes unsustainable. I don't think that's coming this year. I don't think it's coming next year. I don't care that the top national debt will actually get over $33 trillion for the first time in our history. That's not troubling because, you know, quite frankly, each year the base that it's measured against goes up. But when the interest payments, because of that debt and because of higher interest rates, start becoming burdensome to our ability to pay those outstanding obligations, then the only way to fix the problem is through printing more money. And eventually printing more money will become inflationary.
The deadlines, are there some deadlines that we need to really keep in mind for Social Security?
Yeah. The Social Security...
I mean, are we marching toward a cliff?
Right. And we thought it was 2030. It's probably more likely 2028 or 2029, at which point the incoming payments to Social Security will not be able to meet the obligations of Social Security. And they're talking about close to a 30% cut in benefits. Now, that's a huge cut. Look, Bill, this is so fixable. Politically, it's not fixable, but it is so very easy to fix it. The revenues are one side of the equation. The outgoing payments are another side of the equation. And we've got to look at both sides of the equations. The Dems are not willing to look at cutting benefits. The Republicans are not willing to raise the way we get that revenue from employees. So
would raising the age of Social Security take care of this?
Well, it depends. If you raise it to, you know, 70.
75.
Yeah. So that's part of the equation. If you raise the eligibility for full benefits from today's 67 to, let's say, 68 or 68 and a half, you get a quarter or three quarters of the way there. Then what you have to do is remove the cap. Don't change the percentage that we pay and that employers match, but just take the cap from, it's about $140,000 in wages. Take that cap, and I think the Biden administration has a pretty good approach to this. Leave the cap where it is,
right,
up to, say, wages at around $400,000 a year, and then remove the cap. So the combination of both sides, the supply and the demand side, if you will, can fix this. And we don't have to fix it forever. We only have to fix it till you and I die, because we're part of the baby boomers.
We are.
And right now, we are costing Social Security more than the current workforce that are not baby boomers are contributing.
So the cliff is there.
The cliff is definitely there.
Toward it. The whole idea about unions getting more traction, it's just a matter of how much more.
Well, you know, I think the professor was right in observing that unions seem to have gained some power, especially after the pandemic and with the presence of inflation. We have seen a rise in wages, not necessarily attributable to union membership, but we're seeing leverage on the part of the workforce that we haven't seen in a while. That said, we have union membership right now at the lowest it's been, like, forever.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, union membership was in the mid-20s of the workforce. Today, it's around 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And even where we have seen union forming in certain industries and getting their way, you know, having votes and actually forming unions, we haven't seen the result of that unionization resulting in negotiated wage increases yet. So all the increases we've seen have been kind of as a result of inflation and a result of the very high employment numbers giving people some leverage with industries and saying, well, I can go elsewhere and get a job, pay me more. Mm-hmm. And so that's happened. Look, there's one very easy way to fix this. There was a guest on the Smirconish TV show on Saturday. Can't remember. He's from NYU, a professor at NYU of economics. He said, look, this is very easy to fix. He said, postulating what that fix is easy. Getting it done is hard. You have a national minimum wage that goes from $7 and let's call it $8 an hour today. Make it $25. That fixes the problem.
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
It would fix it.
It would fix the problem.
Right, good luck trying to get that through.
Exactly. So we know how to restore a balance from today's inequality in how the income is distributed, income and wealth is distributed throughout the country. We know how to fix it. We know where the tax rates need to be restored so that we can bring this back more into the equilibriums that we saw erode over the last 40 years. The professor is absolutely right. We're giving away the store, and it's causing social unrest. It's causing uncomfortable, child poverty. It's causing all of these things, and we refuse to fix it. And as you can see, it gets me all worked up.
Yeah, and there's a labor shortage, too, if you haven't heard. So,
exactly.
Not enough people to fill jobs in the United States. Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. Have a great week, Shelley.
Mr. B, see you next week.
Okay.
In or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Time for insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency. Since 1976, the Bon Voyage Travel experts standing by right now, they will create, and they'll gladly do so, the trip of a lifetime for you. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com, your first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Let's join Ryan now. Rhino, how are you?
I'm good. It's great to be back on with you, Bill.
Always a pleasure. The Signature Travel Network is part, that Bon Voyage is part of the Signature Travel Network. And I know you had a major meeting that was scheduled for Maui. Did that meeting go ahead on the island?
That's a great question. With the Maui fires that took place the first week of August, we had a scheduled conference in Wailea, so in an area not directly impacted by the fires in Lahaina or the adjacent area of the hotel and tourism spot of Ka'anapali and Kapalua of West Maui. Grand Wailea Hotel is located in southern Maui, and we had a conference that was scheduled for the first week of September, right after Labor Day, and there was a lot of deliberation, Bill, to think through what it was the right thing to do. And it became clear and evident as the weeks went by that our conference was not going to take away beds for those that were homeless because of the fire. It was not going to drain resources from the most important possible resources that they would that the recovery efforts would need. It wouldn't strip anything away from FEMA, but what it would do is bring 400 people to the Grand Wailea that would help employ and bring back staff members of the local hotels and the restaurants in the area. The Signature Travel Network is a North American consortia of about 205 travel agencies that we get together and we share ideas, best practices, travel trends. A lot of things you and I talk about, Bill, on the air on a monthly basis come from the Signature Travel Network and their research and their marketing efforts. And we got together, and it's a once a year opportunity for us to get together. And it just happened to be in Maui. And one of the chords that was really struck, Bill, of our time while we were on the island of Maui was we had some speakers from the local businesses. We had a representative from the mayor's office come, and what they did is they thanked us for coming back, for coming to the islands, for not canceling our trip like many have done. And it was the right thing to do immediately following the fires. It was absolutely thoughtful to allow all of the efforts to be centered around recovering, trying to find people that were lost. There's a lot of lives were lost, so maybe a little bit of a grieving time. But now what I'm here to say to you and to the listeners out there is Maui is open. It was really never closed, the southern parts of Maui, upwards and near the airport, near the Kahului Airport are open. Currently, Ka'anapali and Lahaina are closed, but it's reopening October 8th. And this phrase was shared to us by one of the business development leaders representing the mayor's office, and this struck a chord, Bill. They said, "What the fires did not destroy, an empty and deserted Maui Island will." And why is that so important? 85% of the economy is reliant on tourism, travel and tourism. You think of all the hotels, the Airbnbs, the Uber drivers, the restaurants. That island is geared towards serving the public and primarily Americans that come to the islands and come to Maui. So it is so critically important for us to bring back the message that Maui is open and they need you.
Was your signature charitable arm working overtime there during the conference?
Thank you for bringing that up. Signature does have a charitable arm called Travel Elevates, and it was put in place a number of years ago because not only are we taking travelers to all parts of the globe and hopefully bringing back memories, but also leaving an impact on many of these areas that rely on tourism for jobs and for livelihoods. It became clear and evident that this year at our event, our fundraising dollars, while doing great work in places in Africa and South America and in third world countries, Maui needed the support. So we centered a huge fundraising drive that, Bill, I'm proud to say we donated over $500,000 to to some major charities, including the United Way and some other charities on the islands there, to really give back immediate dollars, in addition to the hotel stays and the restaurants and the food that we spent and the money that was spent on goods and wares, your typical tourist dollars. That additional $500,000 is going directly into the hands of those that need it the most. And our 400 people brought extra suitcases. We were encouraged by our group to bring extra suitcases of all of the supplies that one would need if you were displaced from your home: toothpaste, toothbrushes, soaps, body washes, deodorants, all of those necessities that have been challenging for those that are without a home to come by. We brought over 7,000 pounds of supplies to Maui and took a half a day on Saturday at the end of our conference to coordinate and put together individual packets that could be disseminated to those that are in need. And we spent a little over 3 hours on Saturday morning. So hundreds of community service hours were given to put together these packets. A group of people went to the Humane Society and worked together with the Humane Society to try to take care of the animals that have been displaced, create some food packets for the civil service workers to distribute to dogs that are homeless, to cats that are homeless, et cetera. And then there was also FEMA workers in the area that were staying near us, and we were there as well. A segment of our group spent time in the kitchen at the Grand Wailea putting together lunches for the FEMA workers to be able to eat later that day. So it was a very thoughtful, a very surreal moment, right? Hawaii has been very good to the travel industry for decades. Our Signature Travel Network has been selling and sending travelers to Hawaii for over 70 years. And so it's very important for us from a tourism standpoint, but more important, the people are the most important part. And I just hopefully you can hear the passion in my voice as I came back from that trip. There were shop owners that were hugging us for coming to their shop because they hadn't seen a consumer come to their store, but maybe once or twice a day for the previous month. Mm. There were housekeepers at the hotel that were thanking us because they had been furloughed the day after the evacuations took place at the beginning of August. They had not worked 1 hour until our group showed up on the scene, and they were brought back to work for a week and were given hours and an opportunity to earn a living wage because we were there. I would encourage all of those that are thinking of Maui. Maybe Maui's on your list. Maybe you have holiday plans already. Don't cancel. Go to Maui. They need your help.
Tell me a little bit about the condition. What is the feel on Maui? Did you see other tourists there?
We did see some other tourists. It's very surreal. You know, Wailea, Ka'anapali, very traditional time that you would travel to Hawaii, very populated, right? The boardwalks would be teeming with people, shoulder to shoulder, kind of walking up and down, a nice energy and vibe on the beach. It was very much, I don't want to say vacant, but maybe a quarter of the number of people you would typically see. Our hotel had an occupancy the night before our group arrived of just 27%. Mm. But it didn't take away from what we really felt. And this is going to sound somewhat corny, Bill, but it's very true when you're there. It didn't take away from the aloha spirit. The locals are helping each other. There was, in addition to the attitude of gratitude that we felt for being on the islands, we heard countless stories of locals saying to us that they took in strangers to live in their home, to help feed them that were without home or without shelter. So the aloha spirit was alive and well, albeit the area of the fires and the damage were At the time, we were there still closed off, so we didn't get to see the damage that was done in Lahaina or in the Ka'anapali area. But that area is opening back up October 8th, Bill. Norwegian Cruise Line stopped their port of call in Maui for about 3 weeks. They've returned to the island and have reaccommodated their excursions for the day to areas that are not impacted because they want to bring those dollars to the area. So travel is starting to come back. Airlines have curtailed some of their service, but that's going to start to come back here in October and November. So keep an eye on the fares, on the airlines, and there could be some hotel deals to be had for the last quarter of the year. But the Aloha spirit, Bill, when you're on the island, has never been more present than when we were there.
One more comment about when we have these natural disasters, the media does, the tendency is that Maui is closed and Maui is a complete disaster area. It will take time to recover, and it's going to require a huge public relations effort, Ryan Hansen.
Yeah, the long-term potential for Maui to come back as soon as possible, yes, donations now are critical, but it's continuing to think of Maui, top of mind awareness for you to travel there. Maui's not closed. Hawaii, in general, too, Bill, actually took a hit. The other islands, because people don't think beyond, there was a fire on Maui, let's just cancel our plans to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Well, Hawaii has seen a dip in travel as well. Please don't allow that to be the narrative. It made sense, Bill, right? The first couple of days, the first hours, even the first couple of weeks, it made sense to stop thinking about tourism and focus all of the efforts on recovery and trying to get people back on their feet at the time. And rebuilding is now. It's now the rebuilding phase, which requires a lot of support from not just donations, but of travelers that are bringing their dollars to the islands.
All right. When we continue with Ryan Hansen with Travel Talk, I'm telling you, the global tourism projections are just off the charts. The next 10 years looking very favorable for the travel industry. We'll talk with Ryan about that and more. It's Buckmaster on a Tuesday afternoon. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Thinking about a nice weekend getaway? How about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? Only about a three-hour drive. Perfect time of year over in Silver City with that mile-high elevation making for beautiful early autumn days and downright chilly. Brisk evenings in Silver City. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Also start your planning at bvtravel.com, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. We continue with our monthly insider travel talk with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, President Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel. And a lot of folks starting to think about travel in 2024. Any upcoming events to maybe help them along, Ryan Hansen?
Well, thanks for teeing that up, Bill. You probably heard the commercial right as we came back from the break there, speaking about river cruising, which you and I absolutely love. We know it's a very popular style of travel. We have a couple of events with Viking Cruises coming up. So for our friends here in the local Tucson area, on Thursday, September 21st, that's 2 days from today, we have an event at the Jewish Community Center. So go to our website to get more details about that. Sign up now. We have a few seats left. It's at 4:30 on Thursday at the JCC. And for our other friends that maybe live a little bit north of the Tucson area, if you're up in Oral Valley or Saddlebrook, we have an event next Thursday, September 28th, with Viking Cruises at 11:30 up in the Saddlebrook Country Club area. And then two more events. I don't know if you have a lot of listeners up in the Phoenix area, Bill, but up in Sun City West, we have an event October 19th. But the one that I know for sure you have a ton of listeners in Green Valley, yes. We have a Green Valley Travel Show. 10 of our best partners, ranging from cruise lines to land operators to river cruise companies, all the way some hoteliers will be there as well. Green Valley Travel Show on October 17th. So mark your calendars, October 17th at the Desert Diamond Casino right there in Sarita. So not too far even for our southern South Tucson listeners as well. Come by and visit us at 2:00 in the afternoon. We'll have a lot of things to maybe pique your interest for your next trip.
Lots of travelers in Green Valley, and they love the Buckmaster Show. So it sounds like that will be a great event for them. What's your take, Ryan, on this global tourism outlook? My goodness, talk about recovering from the pandemic. We're talking lots of trillion dollars here over the next decade.
Yeah, in 2023, the recovery is back in force. And everything, I will love the day, Bill, when you and I are not comparing and contrasting to the pandemic, but I'm afraid that's a benchmark that we're all going to look back on for the rest of our lives as a seminal moment. And that moment in travel, as you know, shut us down globally across the board. It has come back in force. $9.5 trillion will be spent in 2023 on travel, and that's only 5% down from pre-pandemic levels, which were at that point the highest they had ever been. But the good news is even better for us and for those that love to travel. In the next 10 years, the global tourism body is forecasting that travel expenditures will top $15.5 trillion by 2033. $15.5 trillion. And when you think about what that means to the global GDP and what else is being spent out there, the estimation is that close to 12% of the global economy will be travel and tourism. It's amazing the far-reaching tentacles that travel has. We just talked about the very localized experiences and impact it makes in Maui, but we know that Puerto Rico had a similar event with some natural disasters, and that area has come back in force. There's been other issues in Africa, and safaris are never better and never more popular now. So people are getting out, Bill, and it's really impacting not just the traveler, it's impacting the places we're going.
How about the Signature, your colleagues at Signature Travel? There was time, I know you were very much involved with the charity work, you and your colleagues, but what are the colleagues telling you about business right now?
Business is up. Cruising is 47% better this year than it was same time last year, which not back in full in 2022, but we are thrilled with those types of numbers. And next year, people are booking further out into 2024 and 2025. This is not a shameless plug for Bon Voyage, but if you are thinking, which you should be and probably are, where do I want to go next in 2024 in the summertime is something you're thinking about, please beware. You better book early and you better think about that and get something deposited soon. And of course, one of the hottest destinations continues to be Europe. The Mediterranean was absolutely maybe even too crowded this past summer. So if you're thinking of the Mediterranean, I would recommend go on the off seasons. Go in May. Don't wait until June or July. Go in September when it starts to cool down and people aren't traveling in full and the kids on their summer break are not there with their families and the multi-generational families are not traveling as much because of the kids being back in their classrooms. So think of shoulder seasons when you're thinking of Europe. You're thinking of Alaska. That is another destination that is absolutely, quote unquote, on fire right now. And 2024 is starting to book. So don't wait until January or February because you may miss out on something that you really, really want to do.
So the Alaska cruise season really was back this year.
It really was. And there was a huge impact. Another area that is extremely reliant on the tourism industry. And we saw in 2020 and 2021, there was a fragmented season in 2021, very few weeks there. 2020 obviously shut down in full. Those port cities really do have a ton of reliance on the cruise industry to bring travelers there because you're really not driving to Ketchikan, to Skagway, to Juneau. You're getting there by aircraft or, in a lot of cases, by cruise ship. And so a lot of the economy is important for the tourism and the cruising to be back. And the ships are, they've never been better. There's beautiful hardware, as we would call it in the industry. There's luxurious ships. There's large multi-generational family ships there from Norwegian's Bliss that I sailed on in April that has tons of restaurants, 21 restaurants, plus a go-kart track on the top deck for your kids, plus all the wildlife and icebergs and all of those views off of the decks. But the even gets down into the expedition style where you can be on a small ship, 200, 300 passengers, and get into the little nooks and crannies, those little ports of call that the big ships don't get into. That's the beauty of Alaska. There is really a cruise for everyone. And that's one of the reasons you come and talk to us at Bon Voyage. You may not have realized there was these expedition style cruises in Alaska. We can point you in the right direction.
All right, Rhino, let's carve out this last minute, quickly go over those events. People may not have heard that, you know, you mentioned Green Valley. Let's go over those real quickly.
Thank you. On Thursday, September 21st, Viking Cruises, and it's not just, by the way, it's not just river, it's not just their ocean, they have expedition products. So you may be familiar with their river cruises, but you may not know everything else they do. We have one of their representatives at the JCC on Thursday at 4:30 presenting all about Viking Cruises. So please make sure to go to our website and sign up there. We've got an event up on September 28th in Saddlebrook. And then the two big ones, really something important for our Green Valley listeners, October 17th, we will be down in Sarita at the Desert Diamond Casino. We'll have 10 different supplier partners there from cruising to land to hotel at 2:00 on October 17th. Come by and see us. I'll be down there. Would love to meet some of your listeners in person.
All right, bvtravel.com. That's the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan Hansen, have a great rest of the day and a great week. Thank you, Rhino.
Thanks, Bill. Take care.
All right. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Ryan Hansen and John, engineering and producing our program, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.